Hey guys, it's Caleb Hickson, the college director here at the Paradox Church. Welcome to the College Podcast. On today's episode, I'm joined by Preston Pittman, and we're going to talk about what is the church. Guys, thanks so much for joining us this week. In studio with me is Preston Pittman. Preston, welcome to the College Podcast.
How's it going, Caleb?
It's going great. How are you doing?
Doing well, brother.
I'm glad to have you on the podcast. How are you feeling about being on your first college podcast?
Now, this is awesome. I've always wanted to be on a podcast, and so this is quite the experience for me.
It's kind of funny, actually. I've had multiple people say that this is like a dream come true coming on a podcast, and every time they do, I'm always like, hey, so you know this isn't like a big deal or anything. Like, this podcast I love it, and I'm glad we get to do it. It's just it's kind of funny that this is people's dream come true, because we're just sitting in a room talking into a microphone.
Yeah, that's so true. And so you don't have to crush my dreams that bad, though.
Listen, I'm not trying to crush your dreams. I'm just making sure that we're all on the same page here. I'm happy that I get to be fulfilling your dream for you.
Well, thank you so much.
So to all of our 30 listeners, thanks, guys. Here's the dream come true for Preston. Preston, so we had talked about talking on what is the church as the topic for today's podcast, and kind of how that came about was just a conversation that you and I were having on trying to get these podcasts to be more of resources, more of like a library of resources for our college students. And out of that was this idea of, okay, well then if we want to make this into a resource, then let's teach on what is the church. So just take me through a little bit of why you think this is important.
No, for sure. So yeah, so for a lot of us, we've been going to church for a while. For some of us, it's been for the past 2 or 3 years. But then for many of us, we've been going to church for the past 10, 15, 20 years of our lives. And so it's this idea that that maybe we think that we've kind of figured out. And yet I think that's far too often we define the church by our experiences rather than allowing God's work to speak to what the church is or really... I think the question that we should be asking is, like, do we fully capture God's full vision for his bride? And, you know, like, as I think about the church, I often go back to C.S. Lewis and in his book, The Screwtape Letters. He has this quote where he speaks of, or I guess the demons speak about the church being this army with banners that spread all throughout eternity. And yet when I think about church, it's far too often this gathering or a place where I go and sing songs. And so it's like, where's that sort of disconnect? And really, I think that how we view the church really impacts how we interact.
Absolutely.
And like participate in what church is. Or really, the question should be, who is the church?
Sure.
Because it's not necessarily a place or a event, but more so God's people set apart for a purpose.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So whenever talking to students all the time, I try to caution against, if church for you is only an event on Sunday morning that you attend, then you're viewing church wrong. You're not engaging church the way that it is meant to be. And it's not just this idea that, oh, we are the church. Oh, we're the church of God is the body of Christ. Like, yes, that's part of it. But I think that this is such an important topic for us so that we can have a right understanding, because you're dead on in this fact that how you view the church is going to inform then how you engage it. So give me just like a definition of how you would define what is the church.
Okay, yeah. So we get the word church from the Greek word ecclesia, which is defined as a assembly. And so that would be what we would call the local church or a local expression of the church. And then also we have called out ones, which would then be our way of saying that those who identify as God's people or those who are in Christ, those who've been set apart, those who've received God's Holy Spirit, those who have heard the gospel and have received that as a means of salvation for them.
Yeah, and I think that is really, really helpful to point out both of those things, because so often when we talk about the church, a lot of the times the understanding or the idea that people want to really hone in on is the called out ones. The fact that we are set apart, that we are God's people, but they then fail to then also tie that to the assembly. And then that begins to create this false dichotomy of, well, yeah, we're all the church. Everybody's the church, like all of it. But In one sense, that is true. It's not that that's a false statement. It's just not a full picture of what the word ecclesia actually means. It is yes, the people of God, but it's also talking about the local expression of that gathering, right?
Absolutely. And so yes, the church does stand for all of those who have been saved in Christ, but also from a practical matter, what we see is all throughout the New Testament, whether it be Paul or Peter or really any of the epistles are written to local bodies. Mm-hmm. And then specifically, and we'll talk more about it throughout this podcast, is in Romans and in First Corinthians, it speaks of the local body as a place that has many members.
Yeah.
And these members function together, and it's through the way each member is wired and gifted,
right,
through the Holy Spirit, that we're able to love and encourage one another.
For sure. Yeah, so we're gonna dive into those two areas a little bit, and so I don't want to get too far in ahead of ourselves with the local church, but actually, why don't you talk just a little bit more about the church as an identity, as God's people?
Totally. And so there's a ton of scripture that we could go through, but for the sake of time, the passage that would come to mind when I think about, like, what is the church from this identity standpoint would have to be 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10, which says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy." And so, really do just want to spend some time kind of breaking down each of the sections so that we can kind of get a fuller picture as to what Peter is talking about. And so first he says that you are a chosen race. And so this isn't meant to be, the word chosen isn't meant to be this theological debate over predestination or free will, but really it's meant to be this idea of encouragement in the fact that before you were even born, before the foundations of the world was even laid, Christ Jesus thought of you, knew you, and he chose you. Mm. And so from the beginning, Christ Jesus has set his affections upon you. And so let it be known that you are a chosen race. If you have accepted God's mercy and his grace through salvation, through hearing the gospel and then responding to that, you are a chosen race, one who has been chosen from the beginning to be in relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so then this next part speaks of being a royal priesthood. And so long story short, whenever you look at the Old Testament, there were the priests who would act on behalf of the nation of Israel as an intermediary between the people of God and God himself. And so in Christ, what has happened is we've received Christ as our priesthood, and now we're able to enter into God's presence without having to have any other mediator. Mm-hmm. And so in Christ, we have the access to the Father. And it's the idea that we have a restored relationship, just like what we had in the garden. And so before the fall, what we see specifically in Genesis 3:8 is this idea that God was walking in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. Mm. And so there's this idea of communion with God that was unfractured. And so what Jesus does for us is he restores that so that we can now commune with God in the way in which we did back in the garden. And then we'll see a fuller picture of that come Revelation.
Yeah, and it plays too off of just the priesthood of the believer that Paul talks about, where we don't need, like you're saying, because we have Jesus, now we don't need another mediator. But then also for our current context, because when we talk about that, oftentimes that's just far too Catholic for a lot of people to really apply to their life. That priesthood of the believer also then plays out on, like, hey, it's not the paid ministers who are doing the work here. You don't just bring your neighbors to church so that the paid ministers can do the work, but you have actually been given that same charge. You are a priest in the line of Jesus. Like that because of what he has done, we all bear that responsibility. We all have been given that priesthood. That we might go and do the work of God.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's so good. And so next we see in this passage, this idea of being a holy nation. And so really what I want to focus on is the word holy and the fact that it captures this idea that you've been set apart. So not only has Christ called you out of death, called you out of separation from him, but he's setting you apart for a specific purpose.
Yeah.
And so Peter lays that purpose out, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so Christ has commissioned you with a mission. And so not only have you been set free, but you've been set free in order that you can join God in participating in what he's been doing. And so what an honor and a privilege to think that Christ himself has invited us into what he's been doing. And so what we see in Genesis is this idea that of a perfect relationship between man and God. And then in Genesis 3, we see that fractured. And so really the entire narrative of scripture is God trying to restore his relationship with between him and man. But also we see that God is restoring this relationship between man and man. And so he's restoring conflict. And so like last week, you had talked to Coleman about ethnic reconciliation. And so that's also a part of what the gospel is doing, but then also we see that God is restoring relationship between man and creation. And so there's justice initiatives in the way in which you're supposed to cultivate and to build and to create things to look more like a garden city. And like I said, like that matches more with a revelation view the ending of what we see in Revelations. Yeah. And so you've been called out for that purpose. And so God has commissioned you with this mission that you would join in participating with him. And so, I think that for a lot of us, that idea really scares us. We think, man, like I have my own plans, I have my own life. And you guys, like the church, are really trying to throw more things on top of what I'm already doing. And so I know that stereotype of TCU is you guys are super busy. Like, that's beautiful and awesome and good. And yet, I think that what I'm passionate for, and then also what Caleb's passionate for, is the idea of, man, God has called you into relationship with him so that you can partner with him and getting to see lives restored through getting to share your faith. But then also that I know that a lot of you guys are plugged in with different justice initiatives throughout the city. And so how can we encourage you guys in partnering with Christ in that as well?
Yeah, I think something for me, or a quote for me that kind of changed my perspective on this, or maybe, I don't know if it changed my perspective, but it just helped me in my perspective, was this quote that says that the church of God doesn't have a mission, but the mission of God has a church. Because I think that it helped, like approaching it as the church of God has a mission makes it so consumeristic to where, okay, then let me just go find the right mission that I can come alongside of, I can be a part of, I can do this. But when we realize and we recognize that no, it's actually the mission of God has a church to accomplish that mission, that we're all called into the same thing, then I can actually find myself in communion with any church that is preaching the gospel, that is actually trying to accomplish that mission, that's actually trying to make headway with that same vision and idea, and I can find myself as a co-laborer alongside of other people within that church.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think that's so important to see, in the fact that God's mission does have a church, in the fact that God has equipped us with his spirit so that we can go out and join what he's already been doing.
Right,
and
right.
So it's not like this sort of initiative, justice, the gospel, was ever created or thought of by the church, but really it's us getting to partner with God and what he's really been doing since Genesis.
Yeah. Cool. So hit us with that last point, because we got a boogie.
Awesome. Okay. And so we also see that we are a people for his own a possession. And so really like this is such an encouragement for me, but to think that I am Jesus's and Jesus is mine. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus loves me. He has taken ownership over me. I know that in Ephesians 1, it says that we are his inheritance. And so there is this idea that there's a longing in Christ for us that he gets to enjoy us forever.
Yeah.
And what that means to me, to know that I'm cherished and valued by the Creator, to know that I'm cherished and valued by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yeah, the Hebrews passage Hebrews 12, where the author of Hebrews says that for the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross, despising the shame. I've been reading a book recently by Dane Ortlund called Gentle and Lowly, where he just kind of like draws that out to show us that joy set before Jesus is his bride. It's the church. It's us. And that's the joy that he sees before him that allows him to endure the cross, which is just so beautiful. And so because of all that, that's who we are as a chosen people. That's who we are as the called out ones. Now let's transition then to the local church, the assembly, the gathering of the called out ones.
Yeah, so I think that whenever we discuss what is the local church, I think it's important to establish what the local church isn't. And so the local church isn't just a Sunday gathering.
Absolutely.
And so it's important. So whenever we take the first point into perspective, it's important to see that the local church isn't a gathering, but rather the local church gathers. And right. So it's a people who have chosen to be committed to one another and that have chosen to worship at a specific time on a specific day. And for most of us, that's going to be on Sundays. But then also it's important for us to see that the church isn't just the Sunday gathering, but rather it's other things as well. And so here at Paradox, we participate in city groups. We participate in city renewal. We participate in like redemption groups. And so there's other initiatives, other functions that the church serves and not just on Sunday mornings. And then also the local church is not a building. And so we see in Romans 16:5 this idea of greet also the church that's met in their house. Mm-hmm. And so he is distinguishing this building in which the church is meeting in with the people of God who are meeting in that building. And it's just important that, I mean, like whenever you think of Paradox Church, our initial response or thought shouldn't be a Van Cliburn. Yeah. But rather, it should be those who I get to participate and worship with, and those who I get to love on and care for. And then I would say my last point is this: is that the church is not solely the role of the staff to carry out God's mission, but rather it's all of us. And so, going back to Romans and 1 Corinthians, that we would see that the church is really this organism. It's a bunch of small parts or small members of people who have chosen to covenant with one another for the purpose of edifying and building each other up. And really, I think that oftentimes we look at 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and we really just focus on the spiritual gifts. And that's really a different conversation for a different day. But in reality, what we see is Paul is laying out the way in which a local gathering should participate with one another. And so specifically, we see this idea that God's gifted us individually and specifically so that we can use our giftings and the way that God's wired us to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so really the local gathering is meant to be participatory in nature, that God has not only called you out of sin, but he's gifted you with the Spirit and he's empowered you with specific gifts so that you would be earnest about and praying through how can I encourage a brother and sister during this time. And so I love what Paradox has done, where our prayer team is praying and they're seeking out Jesus's face and really praying, God, like, would you give us a message so that we can encourage somebody on this Sunday?
Yeah, so in our partnership booklet, we actually have five marks of a church that we think that these are the functions of the church. The first one is the gathering of the people for preaching and worship, communion, baptism, partnership or membership with the church, and then church discipline and reconciliation. And so I think those are, when we're thinking about, okay, what isn't the church, when we start to look at what then is the church, these five marks help us kind of be able to make sense then of, okay, so what is the church? If it's doing these five things, then that's what we're going to define as the local church. And all of this is so important because, like we said at the beginning, the way that we view the church is going to inform then how we participate with the church. It's going to inform how we engage with the church. And so if we are of the mindset, maybe even unintentionally, that it is one of these things that we've just defined as it's not, then man, what a sweet time that we get to be able to consider, okay, what would it look like for me to adjust the way that I engage with my church? Where am I going for these things that that God has set up for the church to be the avenue for that to happen in your life? Where are you seeking to fulfill different areas of your life that God has said, no, I've set up the local church, the body of Christ, the assembly to be that for you. And obviously, I don't know you. I mean, maybe I do, but I don't know who's listening. And so I don't know the answers to those questions, but I think that it's helpful for you to ask yourself those questions and begin to consider those before the face of God, of like, how are you wanting me to adjust my engagement with the church, with the body of Christ?
Yeah, and then just even one more point on that too is, man, like, I think that so there's this fable of two young fish who are swimming in this stream, and they pass by this older fish, and this older fish says, "How's the water today?" And the two younger fish say, "What's water?" And so, and really the premise behind that fable is the idea of, I mean, oftentimes we really don't know the kind of waters that, like, we're swimming in. We don't really understand what we're being saturated in. Mm-hmm. And I really do think that an issue with how we view church is the fact that we've grown up in this very individualistic society. And so it's very much my faith, and it's very much my growth, and I'm going to consume these products or these podcasts or sermons, sure, whatever, as a means of edifying myself. And that those things are good, and I mean, I think that we're able to participate in those things with an understanding of God Himself is in a community. And so we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who are three in one, and they are participating in love. And then in their outflow of love, they've also invited us into that relationship. But then on top of that, I think that it's fair to say that, hey, if God Himself is in a community with one another, that should be a good model for us to see that, man, maybe we weren't made to be alone. And even in the Genesis narrative, like, we see God gives Adam Eve. Mm. And so He sees that Adam's alone. And so really this idea of community is so important. And so whenever we begin to think that, no, it's like, it's my faith, it's my doctrine, it's my theology, and really it is a sense of pride that's in your heart that's not allowing you to see your need for other believers.
Sure.
And that's just so important. And so our encouragement is that you guys would see Paradox Church as a place where you are loved and cared for, that you're seen and known and fully loved. Not only so that you would receive that, but then also then you could find healing and then be willing to participate in allowing somebody else to get to experience that very thing that you've gotten to experience. And so really do want to drive that point home, that God Himself lives in this state of being in a community. And my encouragement would be that you would see that, and that you would see your need to be a part of a local body, not just to consume, but also to participate in as well.
Yeah, well, I think that one of the reasons why that's been so hard is because we've grown up in this culture of consumerism that you touched on, and we have began to view church as, what can I get from it? What are you offering me? How can I grow, benefit from this? And like you're saying, being able to then go and listen to sermons from whomever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want, has only reinforced this idea of, well, it's about my edification. It's about what I can do. And absolutely, like, there's one side of the church that should be building you up, that should be growing you, teaching you, stretching you. If you're not getting that from your church, then yeah, we can chat through that. But it's not only what you get from the church. It's not only what it is, because like you said, the spiritual gifts that the Lord has given us, because we all play a role in it. We all bring something to the table, and God has gifted us in those ways to where we should be asking the question, hey, how has God gifted me, and how am I contributing to the gathering of the saints? Do you have any thoughts on just like the culture of consumerism stuff?
Yeah, so I would say that by and large, we are a generation that's grown up with consuming Amazon, social media, music streaming, podcasts, Netflix, YouTube, etc. And that's forming us. And so the reality of it is that we are so often seeking out ways to better ourselves. And like, that is a good and right thing. And so please don't hear otherwise. I mean, like, I would hope that you would desire to grow personally. And yet, man, where I feel convicted is when Jesus says, man, like, if you want to find your life, it's really found in like giving up your life. And so it's about sacrificing and serving and giving over to a greater cause that like transcends just you. And I think that that is done particularly in a local context. I think it's done in you giving of yourselves within the context of a local church and finding people that that you're able to like, latch arms with. And really, hey, if you haven't found that a sort of a community, would you reach out to either myself or Caleb so that we can kind of figure things out? And if there's any sort of if you've ever felt left out or ostracized at a Paradox, please say something so that we can by all means seek repentance, seek forgiveness, but then also make sure that you do feel loved and cared for, because that's really what we care about. And we want to make sure that we're doing a great job, and we also just don't assume that we are doing everything correct.
Yeah, so I wanted to hop in with one last thing on the local church, just because I think that it often goes overlooked with the younger generations. Is being a part of a local church is a way to be under authority. And the reason why I think this is so important is because oftentimes being under authority is looked at in a negative light. And it's looked at in a capacity that many people don't want to be under authority. And yet, how can you grow? How can you be discipled? How can you continue to be developed as a believer if you are not being under authority, if you're not submitting yourself to an authority, to a governing body, to something that will then allow for your spiritual maturity?
No, absolutely. And I think that by and large, we really only talk about that term, a submission, in the context of like dating or marriage. But in reality, there's a truth to this idea of submission is a means of forming you as an individual. And clearly you need to have someone that you trust and care about who's able to lead you and to take care of you. And so I think, I mean, I fully trust the leadership at Paradox Church, and I fully trust Caleb, and it's been an honor to get to serve with you in my role. Submission is such a key part. And so please know that Jesus submitted to the Father, and the Holy Spirit submitted to Jesus. And so even God, in three persons,
absolutely,
we see this idea play out. And it was, even going back to what you had mentioned earlier, it's this idea of, for the joy set before Christ was obedient to the Father, because the Father was after Jesus' joy, which is us.
Yeah.
And so just to tie things back together, it's such a beautiful idea of what submission is and authority. And clearly things don't play out
absolutely
perfectly, and yet, by all means, it's an opportunity for us to extend grace in the same way that we've received it.
Cool, man. Well, Preston, thanks so much for hopping on our podcast today, for getting to chat through what is the church. Guys, we hope that this is something that has been a help and a benefit to you. If you have questions, you can reach out to us on our Instagram at Paradox College. Send us a DM. We'd love to continue the conversation on this. And in the coming weeks, we'll release more of these podcasts, more resources. But if there's something you would like for us to touch on, if there's a topic you'd like for us to dive into, let us know that as well. We want to hear from you. We want to know your feedback. And ultimately, guys, we just want to see you again. So let's do that again soon. And we love you. Thank you. We'll see you again.